And welcome back to Coast. We'll take your phone calls this hour with Ken Grunback as we talk about trends and demographics. Great information. We'll talk a little bit about what's happening to China. Don't forget India. And don't forget you when we come back. We are back with Ken Grunback. His website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Ken, China, trending up, trending down?
China's cooked. Yeah, I'm sorry, Ben, but that's just I can't think of any other way to say it. What they've done is they've committed the biggest demographic blunder in the history of the world with that one child only policy. They did it for about 40 years. So what they have in effect under 40 years old down to about 3 years old, which is like 3 years ago, they changed the policy. Now they're letting their populace have as many kids as
now they're desperate. But how's it going to catch up?
No, you can't fix it because you can't suddenly, people are born as babies. They're not born as adults.
They're not buyers, that's for sure.
No. So what you have is they are missing, now, and this is a real number, 500 million people that weren't born. 500 million.
God.
A half billion. So here's how it works. Any country, I don't care if you're a Polynesian island or you're United States, you need to have heavy lifters. You need to have people that make big incomes, that have big houses and consume a lot, state, federal, and local tax. I mean, China is run on tax just like the United States is. But what they've done is they've eliminated a half billion taxpayers, a half billion people that would go into their labor force, and a half billion consumers. And the starting in about 2015, 2016, their labor force is starting to shrink. It had been expanding for years and years. So what's going to happen? Well, they've cooked themselves because they're going to have essentially a quarter of a billion elderly that they've got to support that can't support themselves. And now they have a whole new crop of kids that can't support themselves. And who's supposed to pay the tax?
Jeez. Now, what could happen and how could this affect us militarily with China? I mean, would they do something desperate?
Yeah. Whenever a country gets in trouble with their economy, the first thing that they do is they saber rattle, which is what they're doing.
That's right. Exactly. They go to war.
Yeah. They may not go to war because, you know, how many wars China has won in China's history? Zero. They've never won a war. I don't know what's going to happen there, but it's essentially the same thing that's happening in South Korea, and it's the same thing that's happening in Japan, and that is they don't have enough people to feed their system. Their economy is not going to work, period.
No, it's not. Let's take some calls this hour. They're rolling in here for you, Kenny. Let's go to Dana in Grand Rapids, Michigan to get things started. Hi, Dana.
Hi, George. I hope you're well.
I am well. I hope you are, too.
Hi.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, guys. Hey, Ken, I called because I have a bone to pick with you. But just hear me out, and then I'll listen to your response. So two things that irritated me. One was that you mentioned the president having a Twitter war. He's not a diplomat. So all of those politicians that have looked us in the eye, I can't do that as a human being or as a Christian, but I'm saying this as a Christian and a woman. First, I want to say two things to you. First of all, he called her a horse face. She was trying to jumpstart her career, the porn star, because she had nowhere to go and needed cash fast, and that lawyer is what Italians refer to as an old-fashioned greaseball. He thought he was actually going to, that he could run and possibly win the presidential nomination for the Democrats. This was so, the word self-serving isn't strong enough for what both of those guys did. And all they did was temporarily sidetrack a booming economy, or tried to, and bring down this man. But more importantly, that man has kids, especially a little one still at home, a young one, and his wife. And we had a president that did something so vile, it can't even be talked about on radio in the Oval Office while I was paying for him with my tax dollars. And everybody said, oh, he has a right to a private life. This guy did this. If he did it, was over a decade ago. So I don't have a problem with him saying whatever he wants, because you have to remember, Trump is reactionary. He doesn't start fights. You look at everything from his campaign going forward. He is reactionary. If you pick on him, he's going to come back at you. That's human nature. The second thing I disagree that you said is that, now I'm not a senior in high school, but I'm not that old either. When I was a senior in high school, I said that this country is nothing more than a big business, and it should be run like a business. I have started two successful businesses myself. Businessmen and women don't have time for nonsense. You get the deal done. We're not going to have a meeting to have a meeting to have a meeting, and then to pick a committee, and then this and that. We don't have time for that. They're spending our money, Ken. So the fact that you're saying we need more diplomacy, diplomacy doesn't win wars. Diplomacy doesn't save money. We need a businessman. I voted for him because he's a no-nonsense businessman. Anyone that was bankrupted four times and had the audacity to get back up and get on the horse, I have incredible admiration for people that are fighters. In addition, he doesn't care if people call him a racist, because God knows what's on his heart, and other people know. It doesn't matter about this diplomacy. He knows who he is as a man and as a president. So I disagree with you on both of those things.
All right, let's get his comments, Dana. And your comments are warranted, obviously, and you have a right to say these things. But Ken, you want to jump in?
Well, regarding running the country as a business, I think you need to run a country as a country. The single biggest enemy to any country, period, is corruption. And the business model does not protect us from corruption.
I think one of the things, though, when people say run the country as a business, let me give you an example. I think, you know, most businesses are bottom line oriented. You're not going to pay $30,000 for a screwdriver or a toilet. You're going to pay the fair market value or even try to get it for less. And I think when people say, let's let the country run as a business, they're talking about things like that, where let's not waste money as a nation.
Yeah, I would respect that. I would agree with that as well. But I would also say that our country is a republic with a constitution, and the constitution works. We have the best country on earth. We have the best system on earth. And the thing that frightens me about a government run like a business is that the business model cannot protect you against corruption, but the republic can. That's my position on that.
Right. And do you want to comment on the president's tweeting?
Yeah, you know, I don't disagree with the fact that this, you know, porn star and her attorney are self-serving. They absolutely are self-serving. What I wish our president would do is just not air his, you know, this dirty laundry in public. I just wish it wouldn't happen that
well,
way.
Well, but let me ask you this, devil's advocate. And by the way, I've commented on his tweeting too, because I think he needs to be a little more presidential. He's got some great ideas, a lot of great ideas. I don't agree with everything he says, but I'd rather he be a little more presidential, a little more dignified, and back off the tweeting and stuff like that. But if he let them spout what they did without defending himself, then what happens to him?
I think that would, that their punishment would be what they've said, and I don't know. I think what he has done is dignify the argument, and I don't think there is one. I really don't.
No, I mean, somebody got paid a lot of money to do what they did, and she got it. And I mean, there was a reason for that. Who led to it? Who pushed it? Who knows? But, you know,
yeah.
you know, on one hand, you've got to defend yourself. On the other, how much do you mire yourself in it and just move on and say, you know, folks, I already said it. I'm done with it, and end it like that.
Exactly. George, you see, and I respect the criticism, I really do, of my comment, because when I stray outside of demography, my position on the and my ability to forecast what's next based on demography is based on a very macro view, a very 30,000 foot view. When, you know, you asked me a question about the president, I made the comment about the president, but that was really subjectivity on my part. I mean, that's what I feel.
Right. No, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
What's going to happen going forward is right now we have a polarized country, and the country is polarized just like it was in the 60s and early 70s, because we have a huge population of young people and a huge population of old people, and in between there is a small population that does not buffer the position of either of those two. So,
well, what I'd like about Dana's remarks, though, is she said how she felt without screaming, without putting you down for your views, and that's what it's all about. That's the way it should be.
Exactly. Yeah. So my comment to Dana would be, thank you for your position, and thank you for not yelling at me.
Let's go to Joe in Long Island, New York. Hey, Joe, go ahead.
Hi, Ken. Two questions. You talked about the Wall Street Journal having more information than in one issue than people have. You know, then, and how there's just an information explosion, basically. So how do people pick and choose their information, even at a professional level, what to emphasize? In the sense that if you look at Japan, people used to, like, 20 years ago, the people just worked 24/7 almost, and it just hasn't worked out at an individual level in Japan for people with that high octane drive to stay at the office till midnight or whatever. So maybe they're lacking creative punch or something. My second question would be about Amazon. I know they get criticized for putting out small proprietors, and I can understand that, but at the same time, the stuff you can find on there that you can't find locally, even in New York, for example, I got these great gloves for shoveling my neighbor's snow, and that's the main thing I need, but I couldn't find them locally. I got them on Amazon from, like, Minnesota.
All right, go for the first question, Ken.
I'm sorry, I'm just dwelling on Long Island. Hey, I'm from Long Island, too. But what was the first question?
Go ahead and give us a synopsis again, Joe. Joe?
You know, now that there's, for example, an explosion in video, you know, like half of everything people get on a smartphone, I think, is video-based. Just how should people, if they're trying to move ahead in the world, just pick and choose how they consume information, what to emphasize, because it doesn't necessarily work out to put this grand effort into something when there's just so much information. You're like a kernel of sand on the sea. What good does it do? It's just too overwhelming.
But where's your question, Joe? Where's your question?
The amount of information that we get is overwhelming. So what do you do with it? You know, if a lot of the Gen Y kids, the millennials, are actually tuning it out, you can ask them simple questions about, you know, what's going on in the world, and they can't answer it. But so how do you sift through this? What you have to do is you have to compare several sources. That's what I do when I do research and when I do presentations. I really don't come to any kind of conclusions unless I've compared a variety of sources, and that's what helps me with information. In terms of Amazon, I think Amazon is just, you know, what we did when we opened the internet, we opened up the world. We just, that was our view to the innards of the world. And I think what's going down with Amazon is just something that's naturally transpiring, and I think it's just going to get nothing but bigger. You're going to see commerce is going to change. Everything about commerce is going to change.
We've got a company that ships radios. They make radios, and they make darn good radios, Sea Crane Company. And I used to get my radios from them long before I started doing this show. And it was simple. You go online, you order what you want, it's delivered to your house. In some cases, it's free shipping based on the deal that they've got at any given time. I mean, you don't have to park your car. You don't have to spend money on gasoline. You don't have to fight a crowd. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's infinitely easier. You know, when you look at the boomers, how do you do business with a boomer? You save them some time, you make their life easy, and you don't rip them off. This was perfect. And so Amazon is going to do nothing but grow. You know, and that online retail will exceed, you know, the 10% where it is now. It's probably going to 20%, 30%.
I think so, too. They hurt bricks and mortar, but, I mean, the goods are still being manufactured. Amazon employs a zillion people, some of which complain about their job there for conditions and things like that. But, I mean, they've hired people, so there's displacement. So when the bricks and mortar stores go, really the only big thing to get hurt, and, yes, some people are out of work, but they can find jobs elsewhere, it's the real estate that just sits there. What's going to happen with that stuff?
That's a good question. You know, I know that commercial real estate is, you know, suffering some issues right now, some serious issues.
I mean, if you were an investor, would you buy a mall right about now?
No.
No.
No, but I certainly would buy residential.
You would?
I would buy residential every day of the week, yeah.
To sell or rent out?
Yes. Yeah. No. In fact, you know, I have a house in Bonita Springs, Florida, and I have a house in Haddam, Connecticut. And the house in Haddam, Connecticut is 4,000 square feet. I don't know. My wife and I just rattle around in it. And what we've decided to do is we're going to rent it. We're going to come up with an executive rental for it. And that's going to be necessary because people are going to come into our area that don't want to buy houses. People will come into all areas that don't want to buy houses. So rental is going to be very big.
Well, you've got that company like Airbnb that they rent out houses. And, I mean, I know people who own houses and they solicit through Airbnb exclusively, and they're making a lot of money doing that.
Really?
They're very happy with it.
Very cool, yeah. And I would subscribe to that. What you're going to see in real estate across the board, you're going to see dramatic changes. One of the things that's kind of puzzling me right now, and I don't have an answer to it, is this working from home, and if that's going to, you know, remain in place and remain as a major issue going forward, because that was precipitated by a small labor force that essentially demanded, you know, their own way. But what we have now is a huge, huge, the biggest labor force that we've ever had is very young right now and just entering the process.
Ken, I want to talk with you about India when we come back, and also we'll take final calls in just a moment. How about your books? Can people still get them, Ken?
Oh, yeah, kgcdirect.com, kgcdirect.com. Go on my website, buy a book from me, and I'll sign and personalize it for you.
And 10 years from now, we can sell it on eBay for 10 times what we paid.
And you can also get it on Amazon.
All right, stay with us. We'll be back in a moment with final phone calls with Ken Grunback as we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. We are with Ken Grunback as we talk about trends. What about India, Ken? Are they doing the same thing as China, or are they in a different position?
They're really in an entirely different position, but they have their own problems. They have about 1.4 billion people. In fact, we're not really even sure how many people are in India, but my best guess is that there's more people in India than there are in China. But they have about a $2.5 trillion GDP, and it may sound like a lot, but when you compare that to the United States with $20 trillion GDP, there's really no comparison. So India is not an up-and-comer. The biggest problem that India has is wealth distribution. They literally have haves and
have-nots. Yeah,
and there's no one in between, and they don't seem to be able to get a handle on that.
When you have the haves and have-nots, aren't you creating civil unrest and everything else?
Yeah, you would think that, but they're kind of a passive people. But, you know, I don't know. you would think that there would be kind of an unrest, because their poor people are really poor, and their rich people are really rich.
Next up,
no one in between.
Let's go to Josh in Toronto, Canada. Hey, Josh, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you both doing?
Great, thank you.
Good.
I'm a longtime listener. Love your show, George. Hear it every night, even from our belt days.
Thank you, Josh. Thanks for hanging in there with us so long.
Anyway, I just wanted to touch base on that Amazon thing. I don't know if you, your guest heard, Ken, I don't know if you heard, but Amazon is opening now Amazon Go stores, and they're planning to open up many, many more, 3,000 in total by the end of 2021. Have you guys heard about that by chance?
I have not.
And what are ghost stores, Josh?
Well, basically you go in and you pick up, I guess, the most popular items, and you just buy it right there retail-wise instead of online. So it's a retail Go store, Amazon Go. You walk in, you pick out, I guess, the items that they have there and the most popular items, I guess, that's selling that month or that week or whatever, and you just pick it up and go. I guess cell phone chargers, things of that nature, et cetera.
Interesting. And I bet they would use their website to let you know what products they're going to have in the store at any given time.
I'm sure, and that's a great thing for people who are of an older generation who don't really feel comfortable with computers. They can just walk in, pick out what they want, and go. It's Amazon Go.
Interesting take. Yeah. I thought he said earlier Amazon Ghost, so it's Amazon Go. I've got ghosts on my mind with Halloween coming up, Ken.
Yeah, but the concern that I would have about that is the same concern that I had with Amazon taking over Whole Foods, and that is, when you have a brick-and-mortar store, retail is detail. It's a very, very different kind of business that Amazon has succeeded in. So I don't know. Let's see what they do with this.
That could be intriguing.
Yeah, it could be. Sometimes people that are successful get caught up in their own success and think they can do
everything. Everything,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, and so the whole Foods thing is sort of successful, but I don't know. I really don't know if they're going to make it with that.
Let's go to Nolan in New Orleans. Hi, Nolan. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, George. I'm a long-time listener, too, and you are the best ex-teamster truck driver, master freight.
Thank you.
I'm your age. I'm a Gemini in 1950. I think you're
perfect. Same thing. June 4 for me.
Huh?
June 4 for me, Nolan. How about you?
Yeah, I'm May 31st.
Okay. You're older than me.
Anyway, you're a great mind and a great man, and you're very fair, man. You know, I was going to ask this your guest about the abortion issue, losing labor because of abortions. But at the top of the hour, I heard kind of a liberal, and it was kind of hurtful where they talked about nationalism being with white Christians. And then at the bottom of the hour, I heard about the global elite planning. And then when I thought about that, and I remember going back to most of the abortions back then were white people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you have 78, 80 million people now. I don't know what the abortion number is, because I just knew that I had a lot of friends with my customers driving the truck. I used to hear about ladies going to adopt babies, so their kids wanted to have an abortion, blah, blah, blah. And it was just a big problem back in the late 80s. But to shorten the story up, because my phone's going dead, I'm just wondering, the control with the elite, with the abortion, and how much we lost the work ethic because of abortion. So,
all right, we'll check in there. How many? I don't know what the count is, but what do you think that rate is, Ken?
About a million a year.
A million a year.
A million a year, and it's disproportionate ethnically. So. We have aborted about 40 million people, in the last 40 years. We just have, and it's a terrible thing. I don't think we would have 40 million more people if abortion was illegal, simply because I think people use abortion as birth control. I don't think they use it as it's almost like a pill.
Almost.
Yeah, well, people that are going to have four kids are going to have four kids, and if you have an unwanted pregnancy at a particular time, then they seem to have their abortions.
Got Mary in Portland. Hey, Mary, take it away.
Oh, hi, George. Hi, Mary. Ken. Nice to talk to you.
You too.
I was a little curious about the health care and Medicare and single-payer plans and universal health care and all that. Where is that going?
Well, there are three underserved categories relative to health care right now. One of them is health care, the other is elder care, and the last one is death care. Death care is totally underserved. We don't have enough funeral homes. We don't have enough cemeteries. We don't have enough crematoriums to handle what's going to happen when the boomers start to die. Elder care is totally underserved. Health care, people need health care. There's a trigger year, and it's 75. And the baby boomers right now are 54 to 73. So 2 years from now, you're going to see a spike in health care or the need for health care services like we've never seen before in the history of our nation.
Ken, I remember when you were on with me a year ago, we talked about like marketing Harley-Davidson, that they missed the boat too, didn't they?
Yeah, Harley-Davidson right now... If your listeners have a Harley, don't try to sell it because you're not going to get anything for it. It's because the baby boomers have literally moved on. The baby boomers are 54 to 73 years old, and a lot of them can't hold the Harley up at a light anymore.
Yeah, they're heavy bikes.
Yeah, and the generation right behind them is too small to sustain it. It just is. The people that were born 1965 to 1984 is a small indigenous generation of about 69 million people.
Is the market of motorcycles going down?
Yeah, it is.
That's interesting.
Overall, it's going down. The Japanese brands got stung so bad back in the 80s and 90s, where their business fell 80%, the Japanese brands, that they just never reconsidered the market.
Every once in a while, I'll watch on YouTube an old What's My Line TV show, the little old black and whites, and they will always, you know, say, hey, what's my line with so-and-so and so-and-so, and then brought to you by, and in those days, they didn't have sophisticated produced commercials. They would do some of them live on the set for that TV show, or they'll just take a picture of the product or something like that. And I'm looking at, talking about trends, how things have changed, Ken. I mean, in those days, that type of presentation wouldn't work today.
No, it wouldn't. It simply wouldn't. Our video sophistication in terms of communication,
it's amazing.
In terms of marketing, is off the charts.
Yeah, it really is.
It just is. When you can produce, a TV commercial with your phone.
And probably a pretty good one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And listen, I produced 1,000, literally 1,000 TV commercials on video and film in my lifetime. And to think what you can do now.
Oh, editing equipment has plummeted in price and everything else.
Yeah.
I mean,
it blows me away.
It
blows me away. So
it's exciting, though. I kind of like it.
Well, see, from my perspective, it's an exciting time to be alive. It really is. I'm enjoying this. I think the best days are ahead, not behind us. I think the United States is going to see an economy that it doesn't understand, and that's going to be just launched by Generation Y, this monster generation that's 14 to 33 years old, that is going to start households and buy dish soap and buy vacuum cleaners and furniture and automobiles.
Like the old days.
Yeah, incidentally, you know, in talking to I talk to all sectors, and talking to my automotive sectors, cars that drive themselves are not going to happen.
Good. Good. They already killed some old lady in Arizona, for crying out loud.
Yeah, well, and the trucking won't touch it.
Well, no, I support our truck drivers. I don't want to see driverless trucks. That's crazy.
We don't have enough truck drivers. You know, if you want to, what we need.
How would you like to have a truck behind you with no driver sitting in it?
Oh, no, you're not going to do it. I have a Mini. You know what a Mini is? A little tiny.
A Mini Cooper, right?
I have a Mini Cooper GT, which is a hot rod. And I'm thinking to myself, the first time I pull up next to a semi with no driver, I'm off the road.
I mean, geez, on an icy day, could you imagine that truck barreling down behind you?
No.
What if there's one technical faux pas, just one? It's going to rear-end you, and you're out of it. In a Mini Cooper, you're history.
Yep. That's what the truckers tell me. The people in the trucking industry say, first time a truck takes out a school bus, it's over. It's just not going to happen. You know, we're dreaming.
And a lot of truck drivers help unload whatever they're carrying. You know, I've seen trucks at night stopping off at, let's say, like Subway, and they're, you know, the truck is parked there, and the truck driver guy is unloading everything in the store. I mean, how's a driverless truck going to do that?
It's not. It's just not going to do it.
No.
Hey, can I go back to China for just a minute?
Yeah, please.
Okay. One of the things that is troubling demographers about China right now is there are from 40 years old and under, there are about 90 million men or males that have no prospect of marrying because there's no female counterpart because of either gender-based abortion or simply infanticide. 90 million. Where are they? They're in the military.
Yeah.
And there is just a ton, and that's what happens when you have an imbalance in your population. So that's another factor that China is dealing with.
Do you see another major war breaking out?
No, I don't.
No trend there.
I just don't see any reason to do it. Well, I'll tell you what I do see is I think the future of the Earth is the Americas. And that is, Canada, United States, Mexico, Central and South America.
Mm-hmm.
We're self-sufficient. We don't need Middle Eastern energy anymore. We don't need their oil.
We've got water.
Yeah, we've got water. We've got fracking. We're almost impossible to invade because we're surrounded by water. I don't know.
There's always missiles, though, Kenny.
but I don't know. It just doesn't seem to be any reason for that to take place. Even with wackos like Kim Jong Un in North Korea, I don't see that happening. In fact, I see what I see in Korea is going to be a unification of the North and the South. Do you know that the South is not having children? They're for.
I heard that.
It's down like about 1-2.
Here's my concern, though. Not from a country, but from some terrorist group that obtains a nuke or something like that, and they do it and try to plant it on another country.
That could happen.
That concerns me.
Yeah, well, that could happen. But what concerns me as a demographer is that if you have South Korea is having one child per couple, you cannot maintain a market economy on a shrinking population.
No, you can't.
It's impossible. It has to grow. So I don't know what's going to happen there with the North and the South. I really don't. North Korea is about even. They're right at or just above replacement level fertility.
Michael in Jamestown, North Carolina. Hey, Michael, go ahead.
Yes. Hi, George, and hi, our guest.
Hi.
My question is that is the trend going to continue where people are moving out of the Northeast into, like, down South and at West? Because, like, Florida is now the third most populous state, outranking New York State.
Good
and also
point.
Phoenix has become the fifth largest city, outranking Philadelphia.
People are moving to the warmer weather, Kenny.
That is exactly correct. In my new book, the book that came out last year called Upside, Profiting from the Profound Demographic Shifts Ahead, we cover every single state. If you go from Virginia all the way down to Florida, go over to Texas, go up to California, Nevada, Arizona, and New Mexico, the populations are going to increase. The population of Florida is going to go from 20 million to 30 million.
Wow.
Want to buy real estate? Buy it in Florida now.
And just sit on it.
Yeah, and sit on it. But listen, an interesting concept is the fact that the senior citizens in Florida are now 75 to 95. I had a real estate journalist give me a buzz, and she said, "When is the baby boomer influence on Florida real estate going to be, going to ebb? When will it begin to, soften?" And I told her, I said, "Listen, it hasn't started."
When it does, it's going to be huge.
Well, it's going to be off the charts. Well, it's the same thing that's happening with health care, elder care, and death care.
What about Vegas? Is that a good market?
Huge. Off the charts, huge. Can't believe it. It's cheap. There are plenty of jobs. I go there all the time. My brother has a house there. Vegas is unbelievable.
Oh, super. All right, Ken, thanks. Keep in touch with us. You're always welcome on the program, Kenny.
I love it. Take care, man.
Okay. Be well. His website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. very easy to get to in his book, Upside, of course, that he just mentioned, and The Age Curve, How to Profit from the Coming Demographic Storm. And he is spot on, isn't he? It's interesting to talk with him about that. Up next, let's dabble with the paranormal for a couple hours. And don't forget, Wednesday night, Ghost to Ghost on Coast to Coast AM.